Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
John Hartson, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you getting on?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, all good.
So listen, I actually think that what Gary Breen said there makes a lot of sense, because the situation in Scotland isn't the same as it was when you were there, when the best strikers in the Premier League and from around the world were joining Celtic and Rangers were investing loads of money. Things have changed, and yet Gary Breen is getting absolutely hammered by Chris Sutton, amongst others, for and a bunch of others for saying what he said. Is it that outrageous?
Well, I don't agree with him. I think I know Gary, and I played with Gary Breen at Coventry. He's a good lad. You know, we used to travel in together. And I think we all get it wrong sometimes. I think he's got this one wrong, personally. You know, he says there's no striker at Celtic or in Scotland that could play in the Premier League. I disagree with that. I think you've got Odson Edouard at Celtic, who we'll be training with every day. You know, Celtic, yes, they're out of the Champions League, but, you know, they've got a Europa League qualifier next week, which I expect them to get through. So, you know, he'll have great, you know, he'll have competition. And, of course, you know, in terms of Shane Duffy, I think he's, you know, it's a boyhood ambition for him to come and play for Celtic and to represent Celtic. He's now done that. And I think he'll embrace it up here. And I think he'll have, hopefully... you know, he will add to the strength that Celtic need defensively, and we all know what the end goal is this season for Celtic. We all know what they're trying to achieve and the targets that they're trying to get to.
Yeah, I've seen people mention Edouard throughout the last couple of days. Like, I'm sure Gary Breen's logic was that he's obviously not going to be playing against Edouard because he plays in the same team as him. Like, outside of that, like, Alfredo Morelos obviously would have to be the standout striker, John. But is that really it in terms of strikers that would get into the Premier League, or does the list go on?
Well, I don't know. Listen, I'm not here to run down. I work for Sky, and I do a lot of the Scottish games, you know. But you know, for me, in terms of it's competitive when you're at Celtic, because you know everybody wants your scalp. It's like playing for Manchester United or one of the top clubs. And when I went to Old Trafford, you know, you'd all play like Superman because you knew it was on television. You knew that the game would be highlighted. And it's not easy at times when you're coming up against teams that are giving absolutely everything against you, because the fact is, you know, it's on the TV, and you know, and that is the chance. They've got a chance to shine them, the other strikers, you know. But there are some decent centre forwards in Scotland playing at the minute. Kemar Roofe has just come from Anderlecht to go and play for Rangers. You just mentioned Morelos there, the big Welsh lad at Hibs, Christian Deutsch. He's not been capped yet, but he's available to play for Wales. He's been banging in the goals. You've got Marley Watkins, who's just arrived at Aberdeen. Sorry, been at Aberdeen from Bristol City. You know, Chris Burke, who's played for Birmingham, Cardiff, Rangers, at Kilmarnock. So, you know, Shane Duffy will need to be, you know, certainly need to defend strongly. And, you know, and as I said, I don't buy into Gary Breen's comments that there's no top-class strikers, because when you play for Celtic, everybody wants your scalp, everybody wants to beat you.
It doesn't seem like the strength and depth is as good as it was when you were there, though.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, when I was there, you had some of the best players in the world. You know, you got the likes of Laudrup at Rangers, and of course you had Henrik Larsson and the likes of Chris Sutton and these type of strikers around, but listen, they are not around now, of course not, but they were top class players. But what I would say is, in defence of the Scottish League, is that everybody tries and likes to run the league down. You know, but for me, Shane Duffy will still have to defend strongly, still have to concentrate, you know, in terms of playing at Celtic. Because my point is, everybody wants to beat Celtic. They are the 9 in a row champions. You know, I think they've won something like 11 out of the last 12 trophies available. Still got the Scottish Cup, obviously, to contend to win another treble this season. But, you know, for me, it's... you know, everybody likes to run the Scottish League down. And as I said, I don't see it that way.
No, that's fair enough. One last question on Shane Duffy. You know, Gary Breen definitely thinks he's capable of playing a high line. Do Celtic play a high line? Is that exactly what his experience is going to be? Will there be a responsibility on him to play football? Because that's what we want from an Ireland perspective.
Well, he's a defender first and foremost. Whether he plays a high line, a deeper line, a lot of that will depend on how much of the ball you've got, how much of the ball the opposition's got. You know, he played in a three at the weekend. He played right of a three. He was outstanding. He didn't put a foot wrong. Celtic played very, very well. Scored a great header. You know, he looked really assured out there. And he's a fantastic signing for Celtic, and we should all be celebrating his signing, you know, in terms of what is at stake this season. And as I said, it's fantastic for Shane personally. He'll come up here. He will add a lot to the Celtic dressing room in terms of his leadership skills and everything else. He captains his country. And he's an outstanding signing for Celtic. It's an amazing coup for them. And all the fans are delighted. And I would think the Republic of Ireland supporters should be delighted and happy for him. He's going to be playing most weeks. He's going to be playing in Europe, hopefully. And the games are competitive. You know, Celtic and Rangers both dropped points already this season. So, you know, not every game is a gimme up here.
For sure. It's going to be interesting to see how that develops over the next little while. We did want to get your take on the opening weekend of the Premier League as well, John. Mixed fortunes for two of your former clubs. Not a great opening weekend for West Ham, but Arsenal look exceptional. I guess you're judging them against a team that may well finish 20th, so it's very much too soon to be able to leap to big judgments. But one thing you can say is that the signing of Willian looks to have been a great piece of business by Arsenal in the off-season. How important can that be for a team who are trying to charge up the table, bringing in that Premier League experience to bolster their attack?
Well, Arsenal's a massive club, and it needs... And I think Gary Breen's an Arsenal fan as well, isn't he, I believe? So, you know, Arsenal need good players. Willian's been outstanding at the time he's been at Chelsea. He'd run his course at Chelsea, of course. They decided that, you know, he wasn't as important to them. They brought in other good players, as we saw last night against the win against Brighton. But Willian, he's a great talent. You know, technically he's excellent. He can provide, he can score. And when you've got the likes of Lacazette now and Aubameyang and thriving off Willian's services. But Arsenal, you know, they need good players, and hopefully they back the manager. He's had some fantastic results. Obviously, they won the FA Cup. And lots of people are doubting Arsenal. They think they're not sure whether they'll make top four. The Premier League is ever so strong. I'm not sure. I don't think the league really takes shape up until about 10, 15 games into the season. Then you can start to judge. But I would like to see them back, you know, trying to get into them Champions League places. But as I said, it's a difficult one because, you know, Man City and Liverpool are absolute gimmies. Man United have added. You know, Spurs and Mourinho not had a great start. And of course, you have Chelsea who will be right up there this year because they have to be up there, the money they've spent.
Are you impressed with Arteta?
Hey?
Are you impressed with Arteta?
I am very impressed. I think one of the things I'm impressed with more than anything else is the discipline side of things. You know, he's come in and... If you don't fit into his criteria, you know, you're out. You're out of the team. And he trains like he plays. He's worked with the best in terms of one of the best anyway, Pep Guardiola, as an assistant. He's ex-Arsenal. He knows the club. He knows, you know, what the club is all about, what the supporters want. They want to play nice football, free-flowing football, good on the eye. But also, you know, you look at the record of Arsene Wenger, all them years in the Champions League, in the top four. Arsenal need to be up there, you know, qualifying for Champions Leagues. I still think they're a while away yet from winning the league because the other teams are just so, so strong. And it's going to take a lot of investment. But definitely Arteta, I think a lot of people will share the same opinions as myself. They've been very, very impressed with him.
I guess the promotion to manager last week as well really indicates a big trust in Mikel Arteta that the club have got behind him. Like it's going to, as you say, take 10, 15 games before this full season plays out. But you can already see that, I mean, the trust that the players had in Unai Emery is nothing compared to the cult of the manager that now exists at Arsenal. And it may only be a small thing, but kicking a season off with a Community Shield, even as small as that is, seems to have, it can't have done any harm, that's for sure.
No, not at all. And of course, the FA Cup as well. You know, winning the FA Cup, beating Manchester City, it was magnificent. But they beat Man City in the semi-final, and they beat Chelsea in the final, didn't they? Is that correct?
City
in the semi-final and Chelsea in the final.
Yeah,
so, you know, that's you look at it, they struggled in terms of the league to beat the teams in and around them. But, you know, in terms of the cup competitions, I think he's got them very well organised, you know, for them one-off games, and he's showed he can do that. Now it's just a case of doing it for the longer period of time and being more consistent in the Premier League. But no, it's a great start for him, the Community Shield. You could argue, you know, it's probably not one of the biggest tournaments that they sort of target. But it's a trophy and it's a great start to the season, and they would rather win it than play poorly and lose it, you know.
One question I'd have about what we've seen maybe in the opening weekend, and I think it's a trend that we've seen over the last little while, John, is about cohesion between attacking units. So, of course, it's a while now since we've seen a good duo up front for Premier League teams. But what we're starting to see and what we have seen are good trios up front. I think Arsenal are probably tapping into it a little bit. We all know that Manchester City and Liverpool have been doing it for the last little while. I'm not sure how much of Chelsea you saw last night, but that is going to be one of the more interesting questions of the entire year about how they take all this talent that they have up front and turn it into a unit that can actually fire week in, week out.
Well, the thing is, that's why they're probably playing a three. That's why a lot of teams now are playing 4-3-3, so they can get all their talent in the one team. You know, rather than leaving top players out, waiting for the centre forwards to particularly have a poor run or to go a couple of games and then swapping them over, they tend to play like, you know, look at Arsenal. They played, you know, the likes of Aubameyang generally plays on the left, and then they'll have one through the middle, and it's been Pepe on the right. So that's how they've been lining up. Same, you know, about Liverpool, of course, with Firmino and that, and Liverpool do it exceptionally well with Firmino. Drops in them little pockets, and it allows Mane or Salah. They're so clever, you know. They can fill in different positions. The movement is excellent. One moves out, another player moves in. But no, I just think that's one of the big reasons, because all these players are extremely talented, and it's one way of playing with a three, of getting all your talented strikers, you know, in the team at the same time. And of course, then you've got to be organised defensively when other teams break on you. But a lot of these top teams now as well, they press very, very well. And Jose Mourinho was disappointed with Spurs' press the other night. So, you know, for me, these top teams with three as well, it's probably easier to press when one goes. You know, that's a trigger for then the midfielders to come in and get that high press. And it's probably easier to press in a three, but one's got to be a trigger. And you see Arsenal do that, especially Aubameyang, the way that he presses high. You know, he's a credit to himself and a credit for other teams that want to learn how to press. You know, he shows the way in terms of that hard work, not just when you've got the ball, but also without the ball. I think that's what Arteta has taken from Man City in terms of that hard work and that defensive responsibilities without the ball, where Man City are brilliant with the ball, but even better without it.
Well, what do you make of those Jose Mourinho comments, actually, on Sunday, John? It definitely felt that he wasn't willing to take all the blame for the fact that the players weren't pressing well. I mean, surely the manager has to take some semblance of blame for that.
Well, yeah, you know, I think there's been a lot of Jose Mourinho is Jose Mourinho, isn't he? You know, he's basically, he will call it if he's not happy with his players. And a lot of people have come in this week and said, I've heard a lot of comments, people saying, well, he might lose the dressing room, which is absolutely nonsense. If you're a player and you're a professional and you want to win games and you want to, you know, win games along with your manager and for your manager, then that's what you should do. Because the manager has dug one or two of the players out, then that doesn't mean that you have to turn against the manager and what you say, not work for him, not put a full shift in for him the following week. Because he's dug you out one week, he's called you lazy, he's called you not fit. Accept it and move on and learn from it and get better and take it as a criticism, but something that you are going to act in terms of that criticism. You're going to do better the next time. All this, you know, because it's Jose Mourinho, and he has moved around in recent years in terms of club to club to club. He's sacked at three or four of his last four clubs or whatever he's been at: Real Madrid, Chelsea, Manchester United, and now he'll probably, you know, if he keeps going, if he doesn't achieve what Daniel Levy wants him to get into the top four, didn't make the top four last season. So at the end of the day, you know, he's only on a two-year contract, I believe, Jose Mourinho. But when people say, oh, because he's dug a few of the players out and he's given them criticism publicly, well, react to that. React to that in a positive way. Don't go sulking and think, I won't play for him. Listen, the modern-day player, that's what they do now, unfortunately. But that's the power of the player as well.
John, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning.
Okay, boys, welcome.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.